This week in the other Bundesliga, Sturm's unbeaten record slips away at the hands of the league's unlikely top scorer, Lustenau's winless run is extended yet further, and Rapid play out a six-goal thriller against LASK. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Other Bundesliga podcast. My name is Tom Midler. I'm joined remotely by Simon Clark. How are you doing, Simon?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, Tom. How about you?
Yeah, all right. Still recovering from our sweeper trip this weekend to Olomouc in Czechia. A 0-0 draw against Zlin after they'd lost 5-9 the week before. That's very us, isn't it, that we travelled to that? And
that is very us, considering like all the incredible drama that we saw in the Austrian Bundesliga this weekend, that we go across to the Czech Republic and sit in 0-0 draw. But at least it was a wonderful day. We got to see a new place. So,
yeah, it was really
positive
fun
in that sense.
Lovely weather. I stuck a little bet on it being 0-0 because I thought it was funny that they'd lost 5-9 the week before and that this one was destined to be 0-0, as everybody says. And of course, it was destined to be 0-0. If you want to hear a bit more about that trip to Olomouc, you can listen to The Sweeper. That'll be covered on the latest episode of The Sweeper, our sister podcast run by Lee, who's busy doing that podcast right now instead of this one. But yeah, it was a fun weekend. You're right, though. There was a certain irony that just down the road from where we live, there was Rapid 3, LASK 3, and we went instead to see Sigma Olomouc 0 as Zlin 0. Never mind. Let's kick off with the actual Austrian Bundesliga. Sturm Graz 0, Austria Vienna 1. Sturm's unbeaten run is over in the first game of the Rückrunde, where they start to play teams for the second time this season.
Yeah, it's quite a shock that it was Austria Vienna to take that first defeat of the season for Sturm Graz. But then again, this is an Austria Vienna team who have now won three games in a row. Only a few weeks ago, Tom, we were saying how Austria Vienna were looking over their shoulder a little bit. But now, three wins in a row and beating top of the league away. I mean, it's all looking pretty good for the violet side of Vienna right now.
Yeah, it doesn't get much better than that, does it? I did feel that. I think I said about 4 or 5 weeks ago on the pod that Austria Vienna's performances did start to be turning around, because early on in the season, I said they were genuine, you know, they're down in 10th, 11th because they deserve to be. And they were genuine like relegation candidates at that point, obviously very early in the season. But I thought their performances did start to sort of curve upwards before the results did. But now the results, as you said, are absolutely going with them. Three wins on the bounce, four wins in their last five, including a win in the cup as well. And given that they've only won four all season, that means they're really gathering a lot of points in the last few weeks. And they're level with Rapid Vienna now. They're back in the top six hunt. Gruber, with his goal heavily deflected, though it was against Sturm, Gruber's goal puts him to the top of the goal scoring charts with 8. I feel like Aslani's doing well, Fitz is doing well, Handel in defence is doing well. But this was a win based on Früchtl, the goalkeeper, having a good day, wasn't it?
Yeah, fantastic. And of course, a former Austria Vienna striker, Hanpreet Sakaria, having a pretty awful day in front of goal, hitting the post and then missing the penalty. And also there was a chance, like almost directly after the penalty, where he should have scored. So yeah, it's just this will one of those days. If you're a Sturm Graz fan, they will come this season. As we said, it's very hard to be perfect unless you're Salzburg. But as we know, this season Salzburg are nowhere near perfect. But it was going to happen, and I mean, for Austria Vienna to get a result like that on the road is just for full credit to Austria Vienna. They rode their luck throughout the contest. Sturm Graz had many, many chances, but they just couldn't put it into the back of the net. And yeah, Austria Vienna getting the 3 points.
Yeah, you mentioned Sturm having a lot of chances. How worried should Sturm be? You said in there too, you know, losses will come. We weren't expecting them to go unbeaten throughout the season. It was good enough to get through the whole league once unbeaten. Obviously, they've started off with a loss now in the second round. Is it a worry for them, or the nature of the performance, the fact that they did have the chances, it perhaps could have been a different scoreline if they convert the penalty, maybe they go on to win the game? And does that sort of mitigate that a little bit for them?
Yeah, I think it mitigates it a little bit. I mean, if you score that penalty and they probably win the game, they produced a lot of great chances. It was just Fruchtl was fantastic, and the chances that is couldn't take them. I mean, in terms of the performance, I wouldn't feel too bad if I was Christian Eltzer. Obviously frustrated at the result, but in terms of the performance, I think Sturm Graz, on if they played that game 10 times, they'd probably win 7 or 8 of them. You know,
yeah.
It just so happened that Austria Vienna won the game at the weekend.
I know exactly what you mean. And I think it's sort of easy to say, oh, they had tired legs after playing in Europe or whatever, when you look at the result, but it wasn't really a tired kind of performance. You just, these things go against you sometimes, don't they? Austria Vienna's goal was massively deflected. It was good from Gruber to have a go at goal from his position just inside the area over on the right-hand side. You might as well cut back and have a shot and see what happens. In this case, Wüthrich right in front of goal, yeah, with a bit of a weak clearing attempt, and it just deflects it past Schkerp and the goalkeeper and in. It wasn't really their day, was it? Fruchtel made a lot of good saves. There was an interesting side moment, though, that Wüthrich fouled the referee. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did see that, yeah. He
took out the referee from behind and didn't get a card for his troubles. But yeah, it just wasn't to be for Sturm. I think so too, as you said. It's probably not really something to be worried about, more just frustrated about dropping points and allowing Salzburg to catch up with him in the league table. And of course, you know, it's a proud unbeaten run, which has now come to an end. But it was bound to happen at some point. It's annoying for them that they did it at home, but still, credit to Austria who defended well, and it is what it is. But it did allow Salzburg to catch up, and they'd won 3-0 against Altach on the Saturday, a day before Sturm were defeated.
And this was after an unprecedented two defeats in a row in the league at home. Like, how many times have we seen that since beginning this podcast 5 years ago? Not many.
Two in a row, never.
It's almost unbelievable that they lost two home games in a row. And of course, they lost in the Champions League as well. So really a Salzburg team who needed a performance. And frankly, they got the performance they wanted. Altach didn't really provide too much. Just a very simple Rebel Salzburg home victory here, I think.
Yeah, I would say Stojanovic not being in goal would be a big loss for Altach, because Stojanovic has quietly gone about being one of the best goalies in the league this season. But Schützenauer, his replacement, actually did a pretty good job. It's just Altach weren't strong enough to offer too much resistance against a Salzburg who sort of clicked again. Dedic, Kjærgaard and Konate with the goals. Kjærgaard's won a lovely low finish from outside the box in particular.
And that was Moritz Kjærgaard's first Bundesliga goal since August 2022. Can you imagine?
Yeah, he's
such a long time.
One of those players. He scores fewer than you expect, doesn't he, Kjærgaard, for a midfielder at Salzburg? But he's not always there in those positions to score. But he wasn't in a great scoring position this time, but managed to pick out the bottom corner nonetheless. How big is this for Sturm, though, that they've had this slip up? They've come up short against Austria for whatever reason, but they're still top of the league. They're not immediately playing catch-up now or falling further behind Salzburg. And I feel like in seasons gone by, we've seen Sturm get close. And then they have these moments come, as we said. You do just lose games sometimes. It's inevitable in football. But then, you know, they go from being sort of within touch, maybe 4 points behind or 5 points behind or 3 points behind. And then suddenly they lose one and they're 6 points behind or they're 7 points behind. And it makes a big difference, doesn't it, that they're still top.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, then again, this is the part of the season where the points will be halved. So, I mean, obviously, in terms of a mentality point of view, then it's good to still be top of the league. But frankly, you know, yes, they are top of the league, but it's not going to truly matter until we get to the championship group. And then we're going to have like those 10 games, all of them high quality contests. And that's where Salzburg have always proved themselves time and time again to bring out the best of themselves. Whereas their title challenges always fall away somehow during that period. So I think looking forward, that's where, if Sturm Graz can peak their season around March, April time, kind of like they did last season by winning the OFB Cup, that's more important than at the moment. But obviously in terms of mentality point of view, being top of the league is always good.
Yeah, that's true. And I think just going back to Sturm before we move on as well, you've reminded me, you know, talking about those big clashes in the championship rounds, that also happens in the normal regular season, just in those games against the likes of Salzburg, against the likes of LASK. Those are the really big ones for Sturm. And yeah, a 0-1 at home against Austria it's not a good result for them. Obviously, it's not what they wanted, but they did perform well. And they'd probably rather lose a game like that, just unfortunately, than lose against a Salzburg or whatever in a thriller. You know, you want to you want to make those games count. And yeah, certainly going into the championship round, those games will be the decisive games. Salzburg and Sturm were both in action. You alluded to Salzburg's defeat. They lost 2-1 at the San Siro in the Champions League. That seemed like a much more positive result than some of their others recently, didn't it? Despite the nature of the defeat. That's, you know, there's no shame in losing 2-1 to Inter.
No, of course there's no shame. I mean, this is a club that was in the Champions League final only 5 months ago. So to go there and, you know, to score a goal at the San Siro, to have a moment like that. I mean, no one thought they were going to win. So to give a creditable performance like that in the situation they're in is like fair enough.
Yeah, absolutely. And more than creditable was Sturm Graz 2, Atalanta 2, considering that Atalanta were top of the group with a perfect record up until that game. And Sturm had 10 men for almost the entirety of the second half.
Yeah, a performance like that really feels like the 3 points almost when you have 10 men for the majority of the game. Sturm Graz were really fantastic. The atmosphere looked unbelievable at the stadium. Like I know the tifos behind the goal and the Merkur Arena went a little bit viral on Twitter for how cool they were. So the atmosphere there was amazing. And I hopefully we can get down there for a Europa League game before Christmas.
Yeah, I hope so. So they won their last one against Rakov away, drew with Atalanta. That group is now very, very close. Unfortunately, though, the point for Sturm, as excellent as it was, that was the only point for the Austrian teams in Europe this week. So it wasn't a good, you know, it wasn't a classic Austrian week in European football. Sturm have kept their group hopes alive. It's going to be difficult for Salzburg, but they're, after that win on match day one, still within a shout of getting third place. LASK, though, who went and lost away in Anderlecht against Union Saint-Gilloise, I mean, they still have a chance of getting second or third, perhaps, but it's looking very, very difficult after three defeats from three. And they conceded 84th and 94th to lose against Union Saint-Gilloise from one up. So that was a bit of a crushing blow, wasn't it?
Hugely crushing blow. It was a good performance. It really was. I was covering the game for the LASK official website. So if you want to read about that the capitulation, then go ahead. But yeah, it was just a real hammer blow because it was a good performance. And if they had got a victory there, it would have set them up so well for the group. A draw would have been a good result as well. I mean, this is a team who are top of the Belgian league, unbeaten this season. So a draw would have been like a creditable result. However, now they're in a really tough position. And now that they're going to play Union Saint-Gilloise at home, and then they're going to play away at Liverpool and Toulouse at home. You think those two home games, considering the fact that they are currently on 0 points and both Toulouse and Union Saint-Gilloise both on 4 points, are simply must win. And they must hope for the best to have any shot of getting into third place, which drops them down into the Conference League.
Yeah, it's a very narrow window of opportunity for them now after that defeat. I was thinking too, a draw, it would have been a good result on paper against Union Saint-Gilloise, but at 1-0 up late on, you think, oh, come on, hold on to this. They need the 3 points here. And so I was disappointed to see the penalty. It was a terrible tackle from Luka Nader, wasn't it? Really mistimed. Awful. Yeah, it was a gift of a goal back for Saint-Gilloise. They took it, and then to score from a set piece in deep into stoppage time, you know, not one that Thomas Sagida will look back on fondly. But on the positive side for LASK, I think they did all right against Toulouse away, and now they've done all right against Saint-Gilloise away as well. I know the Toulouse game was a bit flat, but I felt that they restricted Toulouse from having anything, and that the French side were very lucky to win that game 1-0. And it could easily have been 0-0 or 1-0 to LASK. So it was at least, you know, something positive that you can take away from that. And I think, as you say, of course, looking at those home games at the Raiffeisen Arena against Toulouse and Saint-Gilloise, they will pretty much need to get 6 points from those now. But the performances they've shown against them suggests that it is just about possible. There's no reason that won't be doable at home. And I think some of that atmosphere will be really good because they've only played Liverpool at home so far. And however good the atmosphere is, beating Liverpool at home was always going to be very, very difficult. So I hope that the home crowd can get behind them and sort of push them on to a good result against those teams in Europe. But bringing it back to the Bundesliga, they went to Hütteldorf this weekend and it finished Rapid 3, LASK 3. And it was drama all the way through, not just the frantic finale. The whole game looked like the best one of the weekend. And there we were, watching Sigma Olomouc draw 0-0 instead.
Yeah, it was not only one of the best of the weekend, I think it is probably the match of the season so far. just like back and forth from the very first minute of the game, that there were three big chances in the opening 5 minutes of the game. And that just set the game up for a topsy-turvy, dramatic clash. But I don't think anyone would have expected three goals in injury time.
No, three goals in stoppage time is quite something, isn't it? But there were talking points throughout. You had Gergic, the ex-Lask man, scoring for Rapid Vienna to put them 1-0 up. You had the return of Marin Ljubicic, who, as we keep saying on the pod, like hasn't looked quite like himself since about a year ago now. He scored two lovely goals to turn it around for Lask, including a brilliant lob for his second. And then it stays at 2-1 to Lask for a long time, or closing down towards the end of the game. And then you get this Marco Gruhl penalty in the 91st minute. And that, for me, seemed like an incredibly harsh handball call against Andrade. The ball is headed against the back of his arm and he's not even looking. Like, he's trying to block a cross which has gone over the top of him, and then it's headed back towards the back of his arm. I thought that was incredibly tough.
Yeah, incredibly tough. And that's the reason why it took such a long time for the referee to decide. I think he realised that obviously it was a very important decision. But just one thing, but before that, Rapid were reduced to 10 men, as in the Niklas Sattelberger received a second yellow card. So yeah, to get that penalty, and then obviously Marco Gruhl slotted at home, and you thought, oh, well done, Rapid. 2-2 draw.
He didn't slot it home, Si. He lashed it into the roof of the net. Yeah, it was a brilliant
lashed it top corner. It was a great penalty. He lashed it top corner. But yeah, the drama didn't finish there, did it?
No, it was only just beginning, wasn't it? So that was 2-2 in stoppage time. And then Lask go down the other end and make it 3-2 right at the death, with Balic scoring in the 95th minute. And that was a well-worked goal. They thought they'd won it. As you said, Si, thoughts go out to the photographer who got those brilliant shots of Lask winning goal, in inverted commas, in the 95th minute.
Yeah, I mean, like, at that point, I mean, how often do you score a goal in the 95th, 96th minute, and then you don't win the game? But, like, so the photographer, so we have access to all the Bundesliga pictures when we're doing our match reports for the Austrian Bundesliga, and the photographer who is in front of the away fans got these beautiful pictures of the last player celebrating with the Allianz Stadium behind them. And I was just thinking, like, if you're that photographer, you've got some, like, you've got four or five incredible pictures there. But then, of course, it didn't matter because Rapid had other thoughts.
Yes. Another great cross from Gruhl, who Gruhl was dragging that team around the pitch today, wasn't he? Gruhl, on the day, Gruhl had a great performance for Rapid, and he put the cross on a plate right at the death for Thierry Gail to head home at the back post for 3-3, and then execute one of the worst knee slides I've ever seen, certainly in the Austrian Bundesliga, an awful knee slide that must go about, you know, 1.5 feet before he sort of is flipped onto his front because the grass wasn't shiny enough for it. But still, what a game. 3-3.
What a game. And yeah, I mean, for him as well, it was his first game at the Allianz Stadion, and to score a goal in the 7th minute of injury time to get a 3-3 draw, pretty epic.
Absolutely. Lask missing the chance to go within 3 points of the summit after Sturm's defeat. That would have taken them just 3 points behind. It's still pretty close up there. Points not the worst result for them anyway, but against 10-man Rapid, good character from them, because even with that helpful goal, obviously getting them a point, it saves them from another defeat in Hütteldorf. I still feel like the pressure's building up a bit on Zoran Barisic. If you look at Rapid throughout this season, they've actually only beaten Altach, Blau-Weiß and Lustenau, all teams that you'd expect to be down in the bottom four or five come the end of the season. They've not got any other wins in the league this season. Their home form is 6th out of 12 and their away form is 6th out of 12. So they certainly deserve to be in P6, as you guessed it, where they are. But as I said, Austria Vienna, with their win, have levelled up on points. And there was a massive gulf between the teams not too many weeks ago. So it's still a bit of papering over the cracks, isn't it? That 3-3 draw for Rapid, perhaps.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I was chatting to a friend of mine who's a Rapid fan after the game. And he was like, he reckons if Rapid had lost their game, that might have been the final Rapid game of the Zoran Barisic reign. I'm not sure about that. But apparently the feeling amongst the Rapid fans was one of, if we lose this, then it's almost untenable. So that last minute goal might have saved his job.
Yeah, it could well have done. We've talked about their chance conversion for such a long time now, and they did manage to score three goals in this game with Burchtaler back. But however it was a really entertaining game. Both teams will be left sort of scratching their heads a bit at how that ended up with a point apiece. Feels good for Rapid, but yeah, maybe not enough to sort of cure their deeper wounds, I suppose. And for Lask, just a bit of a missed opportunity. But then again, you know, going up to Hütteldorf and getting a point, also not too bad. If you remember, on the, I think the very opening game of the Bundesliga season was Lask 1, Rapid 1, with Lask scoring in the 95th minute. So Rapid exacted a bit of revenge there with their even later leveler this time.
Yeah, but like looking at the table now, obviously Rapid and Austria in 6th and 7th are both tied on 15 points. You know, are we going to get one of those things again, Tom, where one of the Vienna teams are in the relegation group? Because at the moment, like looking above, Austria Klagenfurt now have a 6-point gap between the two Vienna clubs and Hartberg with a 4-point gap. So it's, you know, obviously we do have 10 games left of the regular season, but yeah, improvement needed for both of the Vienna teams. Of course, Austria Vienna with 3 wins on the bounce are doing a good job, but you know, Rapid, yeah, improvement needed.
You're right, there is a long way to go, but it wouldn't be surprising at all if one of those two teams were to drop out of the top six come the split. And I think a few weeks ago we said Austria-Vienna might be the more likely of the two. I reckon if you ask that question again now, you'd say sort of trajectory-wise, the way it's heading, Rapid might be the more likely of the two. As I said, only beaten Altach Blau-Weiss and Lustenau all season. And then their rivals, Austria, go and beat Sturm Graz away. You know, how different could those two things be? But we'll leave it there for part one of this podcast as the struggles of Rapid Vienna and that battle for the top six become more evident. But we'll look up and down the table in the second part because we've still got lots of winning runs and losing runs or winless runs as well, I suppose, to talk about on the rest of this podcast. We'll see you again after a very quick break. Welcome back to part two of this week's episode of the Other Bundesliga podcast, looking predominantly at match day 12 of the Austrian Bundesliga season. This is a good point to talk about austrianfood.co.uk, our partners for this podcast. If you go to austrianfood.co.uk, you can use the code Other Bundesliga with a capital O and a capital B and a space between the two words to get 15% off. And they will sell you all kinds of lovely Austrian goods and you can get them abroad. It is austrianfood.co.uk, but you can get them wherever you are. You can get things imported, taken from Austria, imported to the country where you live. And it's a perfect time to use that code if you want some Austrian food, drink, homewares, books, all kinds of things. If you want some of those for your Christmas list, then check out austrianfood.co.uk. Getting back to the Bundesliga, we left it with Rapid and Austria, but there are some teams on some really awful runs in the bottom two of the table. A few teams punching well above their weight as well. So there's some negatives and some positives still to look at. And let's start with a mix between both of them, because we had matchups between the worst performing teams and the teams who are best punching above their weight this weekend in the Bundesliga. The first one of those, Austria Klagenfurt 1, VSG Tirol 0. Another win for Austria Klagenfurt, who are flying high.
They are flying high. I mean, they're only 6 points off top of the table, which imagine saying that after 12 games of the season. They're top of the form table as well over the last 5 games. So yeah, I mean, Austria Klagenfurt are looking up, and although it wasn't a convincing win this game, it was only a 1-0 win. Florian Jarić striking just before half-time, the only goal of the game. And it wasn't too comfortable. I mean, VSG Tirol had a goal disallowed with Kofi Schultz marginally offside later on in the game. But yeah, Austria Klagenfurt pushed through and got the 3 points and celebrated Peter Parkholt's 64th birthday in the perfect way.
They did. Yeah, you're right. It wasn't a vintage Klagenfurt win this time. Probably one of their least convincing wins of the season, actually. But if you look at Austria Klagenfurt, they've lost only one game of the season. That's as few as anybody in the whole division now that Sturm have lost once. So that is quite incredible, really, for them. A really, really good effort. Sinan Carvajna got another offside goal. It wasn't just Kofi Schultz. Carvajna got another one. And Carvajna's on 7 goals, which is second, behind only Andreas Gruber, who had 8 after his goal against Sturm. But he's if you added the offside goals, I'm sure he'd have about double Carvajna. Seems to score an offside goal every week, which to some extent must be a bit frustrating because obviously he's often ending up behind the last line of defence. But at the same time, sometimes things just fall that way, and it's not always your fault if you're offside. And he's definitely doing the striking part. You know, he's doing his part of the job. If the ball comes to him in the area, he just puts it in the back of the net, whether it's offside or not. He doesn't care.
He assisted Yarch's goal, so he now extends his lead at the top of the point scoring, the goals and assists. He has 13 for the season, and Karim Konaté and Andy Gruber are on 8. So he has a five point lead, if you can say point, lead above anyone else in the league. So yeah, he's having a truly fantastic season.
That's massive. His market value must be absolutely flying up. 6 points off the top, like you said. Could the top five be a realistic ambition? Obviously, we have to project to the very end of the season. It's a long, long way off, and the championship round will be very difficult, of course. But is the top five potentially real? And I say top five because they finished six now a couple of times, and just making that leap up to then fifth and getting actually into Europe has proven a hurdle too far for Peter Packholt's team in the last few seasons. But I feel like they're closer to the top five this season than they were in the last couple.
Yeah, of course. But obviously it depends on the teams around them. I mean, if the two Vienna clubs are dropping off the way they are, then I don't see any reason why Klagenfurt can't finish fourth. It's, they're fourth at the moment. They're looking good. They're performing well, top of the form table, have players performing incredibly well, like across the entire pitch. I mean, yeah, if you're an Austria Klagenfurt fan right now, you're very, very happy with how the season is going.
Yeah, you can't ask for much more. From the VSG Tirol side, it was a much better performance from them, but it's a ninth defeat in 12. Which at the end of the Sky match coverage, they said, wow, an unprecedented ninth defeat in 12. You know, nobody, there's no other examples of a run this bad in the Austrian Bundesliga. And I mean, let's wait just a minute, but Lustenau were like, hold my beer on that front. But yeah, nine defeats in 12. And I saw a tweet online as well from Sky, actually, also, that was Thomas Silberberger, the coach, saying, yeah, we made a mistake. We shouldn't have changed our name to VSG Tirol because, of course, it's VSG from Vatans. So they changed, you know, to sort of try and represent Tirol. They changed their name to Tirol and they're playing in Innsbruck, where they're not particularly popular, of course, because there is a big Innsbruck team, Wacker Innsbruck, who are no longer in the top flight, sadly. But VSG, yeah, that tweet was deleted mysteriously, so I couldn't read further. But I wonder if the sort of, yeah, the media department were like, no, let's not get that out. But still,
maybe
carry on like this and they go down, they'll be able to change their name back to VSG Vatans and they'll be able to play in Vatans again.
Yeah, I guess it's a good time to say that Wacker Innsbruck, who are now playing in the fifth division in Austria, got 3,600 fans for their home game at the weekend, which is remarkable support for that level.
That is tremendous, yeah. That is tremendous. And that's, you know, about double what VSG are getting at the Innsbruck stadium, the Tivoli stadium, in the Bundesliga, unfortunately. So a little bit difficult times for them, just the way it is, you know, for them off the field. It's not easy. But on the field, really tough for them this season too. I suppose they could almost take a positive from that, the fact that they only lost 1-0 against Klagenfurt. But picking up points, just looking really, really difficult for them at the moment.
It is. And I mean, I guess this is where we mentioned the fact that this season is a remarkable season for the teams at the bottom, because both VSG Tirol and Austria Lustenau are currently performing two of the three worst seasons in the Austrian Bundesliga since the year 2000. The only team to have performed worse at this point of the season was St. Pölten in 2017-18.
Wow.
So we have two of the worst seasons since 2000 currently in the league, Tom. Isn't that remarkable?
To have two at the same time, yeah. For VSG, it's one win in 13 matches overall. They've lost seven of their last eight. The other one, of course, a win against Lustenau when they beat them away 3-2. So it's pretty much flatlining for VSG, except for that win against Lustenau. I can't imagine it's any better for Lustenau, as they were defeated 4-0 on home turf by Hartberg, and they remain winless this whole season. An awful weekend for the bottom two.
Yeah, a dreadful afternoon for Austria Lustenau, who they look terrible. And in this game, like, Hartberg took full advantage. Of course, Hartberg are... So in the season where Lustenau are having the second worst performance of a team since the year 2000, Hartberg are having the best start to a Bundesliga season in their history. So two clubs from villages of around the same size, about 6,500, having completely opposite seasons. And Hartberg winning 4-0 here and looking very good. Of course, helped by a red card, but you know, you can only beat what's in front of you. And a 4-0 win is a 4-0 win.
You can. I mean, it was an awful red card for Piers Grabher, the captain as well. Just absolutely scything down a player on a break right before half time. And it was only 1-0, I think, at that point. So they weren't out of it. They weren't dead and buried. It's just, yeah, it was a cynical challenge. It was a potential ankle breaker. Like, it had to be a sending off. And it's just, listen, I don't seem to, you know, they're not able to keep their heads at the moment. But if you look at how bad they've done, conceded 28, scored 5. To put it into some context, those 5 goals are half as many as VSG have got. And VSG are having this also, you know, record-breaking, terrible start to the season. From the Hartberg perspective, though, Avdi got the first goal. Another bit of great work from Lang. It feels like I'm praising Sturm Lohne, Christoph Lang on the pod every week. It was like a six-a-side kind of like indoor football, you know, cage football, as he moved the ball around in the box really quickly and got it to Avdi, who made it 1-0. Freezer doubled it. And then Entrup, a good story for Hartberg. Maximilian Entrup coming back after missing quite a few games with injury. He came back and got a brace in the second half with some trademark cool finishing. And he now moves to 7 goals as well, level with Sinan Carvajna, except he scored 7 in 7. So he's the most efficient scorer in the Austrian Bundesliga by a long, long way. Absolutely brilliant from Entrup.
Yeah, he's having a wonderful season. He's one of the, you know, every season you have a player that really comes out of nowhere and performs. And Entrup is really the man of the season so far, in my opinion.
You're right. I mean, that's why we love the Austrian Bundesliga, these players sort of coming out of nowhere. But Hartberger are really helping him, and he's certainly helping the team in return. A 5th win in 12 for Hartberg. Only the top 5 have won 5-plus games. Only one other side has actually won 4. Do you know who that is? Were you listening carefully in the first half of the pod?
Of course, that's Austria Vienna with their 3-3 and 4 in total.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so they've moved up to 4 wins, but only the top 5 have 5-plus victories. They are, as you alluded to earlier, Hartberg 4 points ahead of Rapid and also well ensconced within the top 6 at the moment. What I feel, this is just sort of an anecdotal feeling from the Austrian Bundesliga this season, is that it's normally that league where anyone beats anyone. And of course, it's a football league, you know, over the course of all the results on any given weekend, you know, people do beat each other, of course, if that's how it works. But it seemed to be that one of those leagues where literally anybody could beat anybody any weekend. It's really, really hard to predict. But this season, much more clearly in my mind than the last 2, 3, 4 seasons, you can say, oh, Hartberg are doing well. They'll probably beat Lustenau, who aren't doing well. There seems to be a real gulf between the teams. And although Klagenfurt didn't play well, you were pretty solid that Klagenfurt were going to beat VSG Tirol. And amongst the kind of teams outside, let's say, maybe the top 3, the top 4, I don't remember it being as clear cut as this. And I say that now. And of course, you know, next week, Hartberg will probably lose or something. They will lose games this season. It will happen. But I think there's less, you know, there's less randomness in the results. And it seems like the better teams are actually better. Their form, their tactics, their players, like they are actually genuinely doing a little bit better. And the teams who are struggling, in this case, Lustenau and VSG, are properly struggling.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's not something that happened very often since we covered the Austrian Bundesliga. I remember a couple of years ago, it was Admira and VSG were down at the bottom. And like there was a little bit of gap between the two. But, you know, on their day, Admira could then beat Salzburg, you know. But I feel this season, Lustenau and VSG Tirol really look off the pace. And it's not something that I can tell you why it's happened, because last season they were both very competitive in the league. I mean, looking at what Austria Lustenau have planned, they're going to be building a brand new stadium on the current area of their stadium, which means they're going to be moving out of Lustenau, I believe, in the next few weeks. I might be wrong about that, but they're going to be playing the home of Schwarz-Weiß Bregenz, who are currently second in the Zweite Liga. And you have VSG Tirol, who are obviously ground sharing at Innsbruck. So you have two teams who, you know, frankly, are going to be, you know, financially wise in the league. VSG Tirol have among the lowest crowds, and Lustenau will be playing away from their home stadium after having paid for the renovations of that stadium in Bregenz, as well as their own stadium, which is going to be like a very beautiful 6,000 to 8,000 capacity stadium. But maybe it's the financial issues of both teams.
Very, very difficult times for those two. Last, but well, probably also least, I suppose, in terms of importance this weekend, unless you're a Blau-Weiss Linz fan, that is, it was Blau-Weiss Linz 2, VAC 0, a first home win of the season for promoted Blau-Weiss.
And of course, that means a first win in the Bundesliga at their brand new stadium as well. So extra celebration for Blau-Weiss Linz fans.
Yeah, I mean, I just said that there's not much of an anyone can beat anyone feel in the Austrian Bundesliga this season. The only teams I would put maybe into that sort of slightly random bracket where they're not struggling, but they're not really on sort of solid form either, would be Blau-Weiss, VAC and Altach as well. And all three of them find themselves within striking distance of nicking a top six place. So I'm not sure that any of them will actually manage to do that. I don't think any of them will, but they're all there within that frame where you're like, you know, one odd result here or there, and they could nip up into the top six.
No, potentially. I mean, and, you know, I remember when Blau-Weiss Linz, they had a rough start to their time in the Bundesliga, but they've really grown into themselves over the last few weeks. And this victory against, you know, Wolfsburg are a team that have been in the Bundesliga now for, you know, 10, 11 years. They're a proper, they're a veteran team now, I guess. But yeah, this performance was a good performance. Wolfsburg did have the majority of possession, but, you know, Blau-Weiss Linz took their chances. There was a header from Manuel Miranda after 10 minutes. And then it took until the very, very last kick of the game with Paul Mensah capitalizing on Henrik Bonmann, the Wolfsburg keeper, coming up for a corner in the last minute. And Blau-Weiss Linz quickly countered. And Paul Mensah lofted it over the defense, like from 40 yards. To slot it into the net. And yeah, a brilliant way to cap your first victory at your new stadium.
Yeah, that's so rare, isn't it? To see a goalkeeper come up for a corner and then concede. That really doesn't happen very often.
It should happen more. I mean, you know, but then again, like, it wasn't like the classic, like it wasn't if Mensah had an open pitch. It was a well-worked counter as well. Just there was no keeper.
That's a funny way to finish that one off. But Blau-Weiss have really grown a bit of a backbone recently. They've only lost one of their last eight in all competitions, which I think is a great effort for a side who, as you said, really struggled, especially defensively, to get up to speed at the beginning of this season. One defeat in eight. You can't complain about that.
No, you can't complain. And I mean, look at what they've achieved over the last few weeks. Like a win at Salzburg, remarkable. I mean, this was like, you know, don't get me wrong, Wolfsburg would probably feel aggrieved that they had a goal disallowed. Simon Piesinger had a close-range strike dismissed by VAR because of a handball in the build-up. If that goes the other way, then maybe we're looking at a Wolfsburg 2-1 win here. But, you know, Blau-Weiss Linz rode their luck and came away with the 3 points. And now, yeah, I mean, they are a true Bundesliga side now.
Yeah. Excellent effort. We've got cup games coming up this week, midweek. So by the time you're listening to this podcast, it's going to be cup time, or maybe will have already even happened. You've got your sights set on a few games, haven't you? Where are you heading for this this week in the OFB Cup? Or where would you like to head, even if you can't?
So as listeners know, I'm a little bit of a groundhopper, and I haven't been to Kapfenberg yet. They're hosting LASK on Wednesday night. So I think I'm going to head down to Kapfenberg. And yeah, hopefully see a cup set. But yeah, there's quite a few potential cup sets around. I mean, also a few all Bundesliga ties. So it's going to be a very fun week. But I think the game we're most looking forward to is on Thursday night. Isn't that right, Tom?
Yeah. So on Wednesday, I'm keen to go to Hartberg against Salzburg because that just seems fun. And Hartberg is one that I'm still yet to do for a match. I've been to the stadium twice, but I've never seen a game. And then on Thursday, of course, as you mentioned there, it is the Graz derby again. I did that one last year and it was a spectacular scene. It was a spectacular evening. The only thing that wasn't spectacular really was the game. It was a cagey derby, which I think Albion Ajeti scored the only goal in a 1-0 win for Sturm, and Gierkar, despite hanging on into the game, they couldn't really threaten Sturm. They never really looked like they would level back up at 1-1 after they trailed 1-0. But it could be different this time. You know, it's a different type of game somehow. It's not that first derby anymore in 18 years. They've got one in the bank. Giacar know what it's like. They're flying high with a great lead at the top of Liga 2. Sturm, of course, top of the Bundesliga too. So top v top in the top two divisions. And it couldn't really be set up too much better for that. It's probably a draw that Sturm, the cup holders, didn't really want.
Yeah, it's going to be a very difficult game. Local derbies are local derbies. And yeah, grats to AK are flying. So it's going to be in a wonderful atmosphere. And yeah, I mean, if I can go, I will go. If I'm going, it's going to be an overnight stay in a hotel. Unfortunately, I do have work commitments as well. So we'll see about that. But as Tom knows, I'm very spontaneous with my football choices sometimes. But it's going to be a wonderful occasion again. After waiting 18 years, 2 and 2 years. And then most likely next year, we'll get a few more. So the Graz Derby is back.
I keep my fingers crossed that you can get along to the Graz Derby. Yeah, awesome stuff for the Cup. Looking back to the league just quickly before we finish it for this pod, Austria Vienna have got a good chance to continue their winning run as they play Lustenau next weekend. It doesn't get much easier for VSG Tirol either. So the two strugglers up against, big teams, Austria Lustenau going away to Austria Vienna and VSG Tirol hosting Salzburg. So that shouldn't be too easy for them. And then LASK, again, in the Sunday evening slot, as they were last weekend, LASK against Sturm. So it's not an easy one for Sturm either after being defeated by Austria Vienna. Now they've got to go away to Linz on Sunday evening after a city derby as well midweek. So a big, big week for Sturm Graz, you'd imagine.
Yeah, a massive week. It's going to be a fun week of cup football and then a fun weekend back in the Bundesliga.
Yeah, we're looking forward to all of that, and we're looking forward to trying to get around the grounds, and then of course we will bring you the news of all of those games, all of that action in the Cup and the League for next week's other Bundesliga podcast. You can watch back, or you can read back rather, the match reports that Simon's put together for all of these games on the Austrian Bundesliga official website. If you go to bundesliga.at, you can click news if you can't see the article there already, and then English, and you'll get all of our match reports in brief with the best facts and stats from each match day in the Austrian Bundesliga. They're well worth a read. Do check those out, and please do join us again next week. Thanks for listening to the other Bundesliga podcast. Goodbye.